My name is Jason. I'm a sex, love, and fantasy addict.
Hey, Jason.
I'm grateful to be here today. Thank you for asking me to speak. I'm so nervous I forgot your name already at this very moment. Maya. Thank you, Maya. I've got two major messages, I think, today. One has to do with the feelings of shame that we have as addicts, and that they are not true. The negative self-talk that is not true. And that you don't have to feel that anymore. If you're anything like me as an addict, there's a lot of feelings of shame and a lot of self-judgment and a lot of critical thinking in our heads. So we don't have to feel that anymore. And the second message is that the tool that I have used to not feel that anymore is the 12 steps as they're written as a program of recovery in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So just to qualify real quick, I have had addictive behavior as far back as I can remember. Started out early on in my life with food and video games when I discovered some porn in my parents' house. I thought, man, this is really the answer. So I learned at a young age to associate sex with intimacy and also love. I learned to associate sex with love. I didn't know this for a long time, but the core of my spiritual malady is that I, deep in my heart, really, there's this core belief in my spirit that like my soul is just not good enough and that there's something wrong with me and that I'm not really worthy of being loved and I have to prove it. So I know that this is an artist's meeting. I myself am an artist. You know, I draw, I have a minor in painting, I make music, I do all sorts of, I have a creative career. And I find it actually pretty miserable and paralyzing because the core belief tells me that unless I'm producing art that I deem is like good and worthy and other people are praising me for it, then I'm just not good. And I'm not worthy and I'm not, and nobody's loving me. That sucks. That's not a good way to live. Now, I have found relief in this program from that, and I do get a daily reprieve from that that spiritual malady contingent on the maintenance of that spiritual condition, and I'll talk about that in the 12-step part. But this is a message that I've really been focusing on the past 6 months. And it has to do with the shame that I have put on myself for most of my life. It comes from within me. Look, let me just back up and say this. So I did a bunch of therapy and a bunch of work in the 12 steps, and I realized that like no one's really ever, let me rephrase that because it's not true, but the vast majority of like the negative feedback and shame and everything that I think is happening is just coming from myself. Now, it's not all of it. There are people that are not nice, of course, but it comes from my own head. I'm on a bit of a personal mission lately to sort of, not sort of, let me own it, to eradicate shame. I don't like it. It's not okay. And we all do it. And as artists, you know, I think we probably do it maybe even more than most people. Every once in a while, I'm meeting people out there in the world, normies, and I'm like, man, they just don't experience this like I do. They don't experience that negative self-talk and that shame. They seem to live in the bit of ignorant bliss of which I'm sometimes jealous. But yeah, that shame is absolutely worthless. And my message is this: you are worth it as a human being. God does not create junk. No matter what you have done in your life, it doesn't matter. You're worthy of being loved. Whether or not you're worth it as a person is not contingent on the art you produce, how smart you are, how pretty you think you are or aren't, how handsome or thin or tall or short or whatever. None of that makes any difference. We're all human beings. We're all here on this earth living this human experience. And there's no universal law that says, do these things, otherwise you're not worth it. That's all just a made-up construct that is coming from past programming. Thank you. It's just bullshit. It's bullshit. Now, here's the problem, though. Like, I say that to you all, and it probably hits. If you're anything like me, you're that sort of like hopeless, addict of the hopeless variety. You got like nothing else. I mean, I know it's funny, but that's in the big book, right? It talks about the three forms of alcoholics. And the third one is what I am. There's like just no hope for me. There's like nothing in science and nothing in religion, nothing in fellowship or friends or family that can actually help me with this addiction. I've tried a lot of this stuff. I've tried so many things and nothing has really worked. Now, I can say all that stuff about shame. It sounds really good. You nod your head. You're like, yeah, he's right. But if you're anything like me and this hopeless addict, you leave here and then it's like, well, nothing's changed. Like nothing. It may feel like a little bit of a boost coming to meetings. Meeting makers make it, as they say. But then I would leave and just didn't help. So I hate to have to tell you, somebody's walking in, imagine just hearing this. I hate to have to tell you that the only key to your own happiness is working the 12 steps of AA as they're written in the big book. If you are that third type addict like me, that's what the book says. That's not really what I say, it's what the book says. Now I know it says there's suggestions and all that stuff, but here's where I think it gets really weird, because if you got this whole book, and there's like 800 stories in the back of how these steps have worked, and the whole book is about the spiritual transformation that can come about through these steps, and then the book says, we suggest you take these steps, and then I didn't take them for like 20 years. How weird is that? I was like, oh, thanks for the suggestions. I'm going to try these other things. I'm going to go to meetings. I'm going to say that tomorrow I'll make some outreach calls. I'll share at some meetings, or my personal favorite is when I would stick around for the after meeting and then share at that, kind of off topic. Oh my God. I walked into the rooms of, walked into the 12-step rooms 19 years ago, and I have completed the 12 steps around this issue of sex and love addiction about 2 months ago. Like, it's brand new for me. And things have shifted. Things have actually shifted. Like, I can stand here, I can tell you that things have actually shifted because I worked those steps. And what's crazy about it is I have a tendency to make things super complicated. I have a tendency to want to do things my way, to modify, to try different things, to spend 99.9% of my time in my head thinking about myself and the future and the past and what am I going to do? How am I going to solve my whole life problem at once? But then when I look in the book, it's like it's a simple kit of spiritual tools that it says, it just tells me everything to do. And it's like only, as they say, 164 pages. It's not even that. You could probably break it down to 50 pages that have actual instructions on them. And it's really simple. I don't know why I was resistant. It's not my fault, actually. This kind of goes back to the shame thing. If you don't have the willingness to work the steps, I mean, it's not like your fault. My willingness didn't come from me. It wasn't like one day I just tried hard enough or I like achieved a level of moral high ground and then I worked the steps. It wasn't like that. Like, if I just tried hard enough, I could work those steps. Because of course I beat myself up and self-shamed all those years for not working the steps. Thanks. The willingness came from a higher power. I wish I could give you the willingness to do what you probably know would be good for you in your spiritual recovery. I can't give it away. I would if I could. Can't give it away. You can't find it, in a book. Good luck finding that in one of the 20 self-help books you probably have at home, like me, that I've read 2 pages of and never picked up again. And then beat myself up over it. But the instructions are in the book. And really all the book says is that we have this illness and a spiritual experience can cure it, which sounds really woo-woo and strange to me, but then the book says all these things to do. It just says what to do. And I did them. And I got some sponsees. I started just kind of simply telling them what I did without judgment. And everything is shifting. Everything is shifting. And I get that daily reprieve. And this is part of it. We come to this meeting and we take an active role in our recovery. So if you don't have the willingness to do some stuff, I guess just pray for the willingness. I used to hate it when people would tell me that, but that's really like the best tool we got when we don't have the willingness, just to pray for it. So I just want to thank you all for having me here today. I really am honored to be here. I hope everybody has a great rest of their weekend.